This week's Torah Way has been sponsored Lischus Hechoson Yisrael Meir V'Hakala Devorah Zelda Shizvugam V'Siyata Dishmaya Yale Yofo Yud Beis Menachemov, Friday the 20th of July, Rabbi Avram Chaim Feuerschlitter.
Good morning, Rabbi Yisai, a good night of Shabbos. It's a schus and a pleasure to be with you this morning. This week's Parsha V'Eschanon, Torah Akdoisha tells us something that's tucked away in the middle of the Parsha, which is not given enough attention. Perek Vav Pasuk Yud, V'Hoya, Ki Yaviyecha Adonai Lehecha, El Oretz Esher Nishba L'Aviseche L'Abraham L'Yitzchak L'Yaakov L'Oses Lach, Orem Gedoilais V'Toivais Asher Lo Bonisa. You can look forward to a conquest of Eretz Yisrael, the land promised to our fathers, and you will then conquer great cities, good cities, which you did not build, but you will inherit them. Uvatim Leim Kol Tov. Not only will they have good real estate, as many of you love to buy here in London, but the real estate will be yours for free. No barristers, necessary solicitors to help you, real estate agents, free. And it will be Maleim Kol Tov, full of all good things. Asher Lo Mileisa. Freezers filled, stocked to the overflow, and you didn't fill it up, the Goyim did it. You'll have wine vats full of wine. You didn't dig those wine pits. Vineyards, orchards of olives. You didn't plant. Eat and be satisfied. Gevaltik. And Rashi notes over here, but actually it's more in the Ramban. The Ramban says here, Barichas, the Ramban quotes the Gemara in Chulin Daf Yud Zayin, which tells us something very startling, that Batim Aleim Kol Tov means that when the Yidden came into Eretz Yisrael, whatever they find in the houses of the Goyim, I'm going to eat the stuff from the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. What's going on over here? Yes, says the Gemara, whatever you find in those fully stocked houses, afilu kadli the chaziri, even if you find chazer, we don't like to use the word chazer, afilu, it's so chazer. We call it davracher. And yet here the Torah, the Gemara very blatantly and bluntly says that even if you find chazer in the freezer, in the refrigerator, es gesunter heit. Es the chazer gesunter heit. What you've always been seeing, I was going down, tell you, the gullus here is very deep between here and Stamford Hill. It's a long trip. I went to a chasnes, I actually missed the chuppah. So much traffic. We got an hour and a quarter to get there, an hour and a half. Crazy. But I was looking at all the signs coming there, and all these places, I didn't want to say the words, emphasizing all their chazer. And when you go into Eretz Yisrael, grace a glick. So this is what you're looking for. You're looking forward to come to Eretz Yisrael, Yidden. You were in the Mitzrayim. You were in the Midbar for 40 years. You were Mamash Anani HaKavod. And what's the grace of lick? What do you have to look forward to? What's the Shifa? To come to Eretz Yisrael and to enjoy Batam Aleim Kol Tov full of Chazer. The Gemara finds no better example of the Kol Tov, not Nevelis, not Treifis, Shrimp, other things. No, Chazer. But us is the most the vile thing that we can possibly think of as a chazer. Gemara says, "Kadli the chazir, gishmak a chazer, the best parts of the chazer." This is batam aleim kol tov. And the Ramban here, it's a Gemara. The Gemara says, "Chulin zayek, yeah, kipshuta kamashmo." And it's even paskin in the Rambam. The Rambam is a sheet on this a bit different. The Rambam holds it's not a din in the chefza, it's a din in the gavra. The Rambam holds that this is halacha, not dafkin when you come there. It's actually a military law in the Tzva Haganah that whenever a Jewish army fights, and if the soldiers cannot, their supply route is not sufficient, and they have to, they have nothing to eat right now. They're not dying, it's not Mekuch Nefesh, but you have to eat to fight. We have no Asago, it's like to fight hand-to-hand battle in those days, combat. Today you just press a button, the missile goes, or you pull a trigger. In those days it was Festa, hand to hand, mamish, mano et mano, it's hard work in the sun and the hot armor. You got tired, need a little energy bar. The only energy bar you can find is a chazer bar. So the Rambam says, okay, You don't have to go looking for kosher. Don't go around checking, call your local Rav. Hello, Rav, can I eat? There's a guy about to hit me over the head with a sword. I could use a little energy. Can I have this Treif energy bar? Rav, I'll look it up. I'll call you. I'll speak to the Beis Din, and I'll get back to you in an hour. It doesn't work. It says the Rav, you don't have to do that. Go eat. Ask Gesundheit. That's the Rambam sheet. It's in the soldiers, only soldiers, in the heat of battle, in any battle. But the Heilige Ramban, in this week's parish, in the parish of Matas Masa, he says, no, it's in the Chefza, suddenly we have a blanket heter, that whatever you find, it's only talking these 7 years of Kivush of Eretz Yisrael, and the Ramban is the Pasha to Mashmos of the Gemara Chulin Yazayin, I would love to go through with you. We have very little time here. You're all in a rush. So the Ramban is mamish, the Gemara is 100% mashma like the Ramban. The Ramban said, no, it's a din in the Chefza, in the house, that whatever you find, anybody, not the soldiers, men, women, children, everybody, es gesundheit ala chazer. Now this is really a pel de gazach. And the Ramban compares it, he says, it's like tuma hutra v'tzibur, just like we have a concept that in the Beis HaMikdash, if there's the tuma. So if the carbon tzibur, the tzibur as a group can override tumah, defilement in the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban compares it. There's over here also magic wand, and we take the magic wand. You have his fellow here does these things, Mr. Harry Potter, right? And he takes his magic wand and he says abracadabra, and everything is kosher. I was once on the plane and they ran out of kosher meals, so the Afro-American student comes over and he says, you look like a rabbi. Perhaps you could bless these meals for us and make them kosher. Some rabbis still do that for Hashem. There are such Hashem. But I told them, no, I'm sorry, it's not exactly what kosher is. So here we have abracadabra kosher, abracadabra kosher. And it makes everything kosher, the Ramban says. But some lamb cultivated, it's a peldik is out. Why? This is what we're looking forward to in Eretz Yisrael. And this is called Tuv. And someone asked me the other once that if the din of Timtum Halev, the rule that eating on kosher will fashtop someone's heart, will desensitize the heart to Ruchnius, and will corrupt the heart, does that apply over here? It's much or not. It's called Batim Aleim Kol Tuv. Now the Pshat is, Rabbi, again, there's a long and a short way. How do we do this? I'll give you the medium way. The medium way is the Derech HaMamutza. Well, you know, Bishat is like this. You know, we call something that's permissible, we call it mutar. Mutar means it's freed. We call something that's prohibited, we call it in Hebrew asur, which means locked up. Which means primarily that everything really, essentially in the heart of hearts of any food article, really has a spark of the word of God. Ki lo lalechem levado yichya ha'odom, ki al kol motzav pi Hashem. That not by bread alone does man live, but rather lives by the word of the mouth of God. Which means that the nourishment of the food is not the actual carbohydrates and protein, etc., and the energy level. The true source of energy is the word of Hashem, which is in every foodstuff and everything in the world, and by eating L'Shem Shemayim and certainly making a bracha, we release that vitamin J, that Jewish vitamin, or vitamin G for God, and we release it, and that gives us our energy. The only thing is that the foods that we say are permissible are those that their klipa, their outer husk, is not so heavy and so material that it does not allow it to break in. It's easy to open up the safe and the vault which hides these wonderful sparks. What is usr? Usr means is locked up, which means to say that the klipa, the outer shell, the outer husk, is so grub, it's so coarse, it's so vulgar, it is so material, it is so of this world that it's almost impossible, it's not impossible, to release the spark of Kedusha that lies within. So Chazer is one of the prime examples that the Klipa is so bad on the outside, that's why we always use it as the ultimate example, if the Klipa on the outside is so bad, that we can't break into it. But that's only under ordinary circumstances. As Daf Chazir, where Chazal say, there's a medrash that says, why is it called Chazir? She'asa the Kodesh Baruch Lach Zira Yisrael. The day will come when the good Lord will return Chazir to Klal Yisrael, and we'll be able to have Chazir chalent on Shabbos, and you'll be able to shmashke the bengdalach. You'll suck the bones, and you'll enjoy it very much. Chazir, you'll have a pure Chazir chalent, 100% kosher. Borscht, you'll have sausages, the works. Why? Because in the future, there'll be such a power of the tzibur together. It doesn't say exactly when that future is, but the future time, the ultimate time, the utopian time, there will be such a power in Klal Yisrael, in Achdus, in unity, that we will have the ability to break into any klipa. There will not be any external husk that can hold us back. We will be able to break into anything. That's what the Chazir will come back to us. And the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, actually, Padre Shmini quotes this Medrash, and he says what's really going to happen is that in the future, not the halacha is going to change, the Metzias will change. That the Schus of Klal Yisrael, the Chazir will now be Malageira. The Chazir, which now is the proverbial, the split hoof, which shows it makes believe it's kosher, like Esav, but it's not Malageira, it does not chew its cud, it wolfs everything, it chazers everything down, so the swine will change its nature, will be Malageira, will have kosher simonim in the future. It'll be changed. Why? Because in a holier world, those things which are unholy and totally antithesis of sanctity will be sanctified. So this is what the chiddush of the 7 years of kiddush is. The chiddush of batim aleim kol tov is that when Klal Yisrael are together, and there's a kivush rabim, the entire Klal Yisrael works in concert with one another, and there's this total unity, and there's one leader, Yoshua ben Nun, and we're acting in tandem with one another, the power is indomitable, it is a juggernaut of Kedusha, and this juggernaut will not merely crush and steamroller everything in the way and bulldoze it, fakir, it'll elevate everything in this way, and even the Chazir will be elevated to a new Madrega, will change its Metzias, and what is reprehensible to us, what is absolutely abominable to us, Chazir, Afilu Chazir, and everything else, and horse meat and camel meat and everything else, and all the seafood that is usher to us, will be transformed into Kedusha by virtue of our conquest. Ubatim Malayim Kol Tov. The house will be filled with Toiv, it will become Toiv. This Ra, this usher will be released and will become Toiv, saturated and permeated with Kedusha. That is the meaning of this very esoteric halacha. That's what the Ramban is telling us. And it can be explained even on deeper levels, but it's a bit too short. But what this tells us is that gives us an idea, hasaga, of the power of the Rabbim, of the Tzibur, which means Tzadikim, Beinonim, Urishoyim. We're all together as one, something which is absolutely, this utopia, it seems to be further than ever to us, but it does exist. And that's what we're striving for. That would give us this Batam Aleim Kol Tov. Now it's interesting, in the Torah, where is the Torah position, this halach of Ahoyaki V'yecha, El Arta Shanishbala V'secha, Ubatam Aleim Kol Tov, it appears right after the Aseris HaDivris and Parshas V'eschanan, and right after Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Why is the Torah position, this halacha, this very esoteric halacha, of Ubatam Aleim Kol Tov, Dafke here? Exactly the point. The point is that only thing that will unite us and bond us together would be the Aseris HaDibris, Anoyecha Hashem Elokecha, the one God that makes us one people. And like the Baal HaTanya says, that Klal Yisrael, we are Echad, Mitzad our Neshamas, Mitzad our soul. We are all of us here in this room are not merely brothers, my dear friends. We are not brothers, we are one Mamish. We are Chativa Achas, we share one glorious over soul. It is our bodies that are mafrid us, said the Baal Yitanya in Lekuti Amorim, Perek Lamed Beis. Our souls are mamish one, we're all one. The body is what separates us. So therefore, if you see someone who in a proper way is very accepted on the Tzibur, he's wonderful, he's a person who's with the Tzibur, admired and adulated by the Tzibur, a proper tzibur for the right things, he shows he's more of a spiritual person. If you see a person who, despite his protestations of his great piety, is a person who is very divisive and people cannot get along with him, something is wrong over there. Because by definition, the more a person is in touch with his soul, he's in touch with all Yiddish souls, and they have an affinity and a brotherhood with this person. If there's period, there's something wrong over here. Period comes mitzad haguf, says the Heilige Balatanya. So after Yidden say Shema Yisrael Hashem L'ken Hashem Echad, then we can have this. It's mamash right after that. Right after Uvisharecha Amuzayz V'Sech V'Sharecha V'Olik Yiviyacha Batam Aleim Kol Tov. That's the Yisrael. Now this tells us something about what our utopian ideal of a Jewish army would be. So I come from the land of Israel. You've heard of it, I'm sure. I come from the holy city of Jerusalem. I'm sure you heard of that too. And we have our problems over there. But our problems are your problems. It's Klal Yisrael's problems. It's supposed to be the Kir Shechuvr LeYachtov. They'd like to draft all of our young men, take them out of the yeshivas and bring them into the army. And I'm all for it. I'm all for the army. I believe in Tzahal. How do you like that? I believe in Tzahal. But my definition of Tzahal is a little bit different than the Lavans of the world. The Lapid, Bennett, and the Netanyahu's, they have a different concept of what, I didn't say it's another, you can also spell it Nun Beis Lamed. The kids are, we have a different concept of what the army is supposed to look like. And this is defined right away in the beginning of Sefer Yoshua, where the good Lord tells Yoshua, the great conqueror of the land, something equal to your Lahavdil, William the Conqueror, in 1066. So along comes, Yeshua bin Nun, and he has his own military strategies, and the good Lord tells him what the strategy should be right in the opening sukkim of Yeshua. And he says, listen, Yeshua, listen, I'm giving you Eretz Yisrael. Kolama said, Elar, bring him to Eretz Yisrael. Kom ogem she tidre kaf rag lechem boy, lechem nesativ. I'm assuming you know Hebrew. Kasher dibar tel Moshe. I'm giving you the whole country, wherever you step, every footstep. Your borders will be very great and stretch from east to west and north to south. No man shall dare stand in front of you. I shall not release my grip on you. I shall not abandon you. Be strong. Be brave. You will be the one who will not merely conquer it, but you shall apportion it as well. But be very strong. Ah, what does that mean? A year or two in basic training? You have to train how to shoot and how to run, how to fight? No. Rak chazak matzmod? Lishmor la'asoyz kikol ha'toyrah asher tzivcha moishavdi. Your training, your basic training has to be to keep the Torah that Moshe Rabbe. Of course you have to know, they didn't actually fought, they had swords, they had spears, they had bows and arrows, klar, they had a real army, it was a real army, but the main chizik of the army was, Lishmar, Lasai, Zikakola, Torah, Shetzifla, Moshe Rabbe. Al Tosumi, Medium, Esmo. You'll be court-martialed for insubordination if you deviate from the Torah, left or right. Laman Taskil, so you should be successful. Lo yomush sefer ha-Torah hazeh mipicha. Let the words of the Torah not budge from your mouth. V'agisa b'yam v'layla. The tzivut to learn your day and night is here. Laman tishma lasa k'kol ha-kosav boy. Ki os tatzliach. Es drachech v'os taskil. Halitzi v'sicha third time. Chazak v'matz. Al tarz v'altechos. If you're mechazik and you're brave in Torah, and you're not afraid to put your strength into real understanding and use your mind, don't be lazy, don't be mentally lethargic, but you will study, understand, take it seriously, very seriously, put it into action, then you will never have fear, you will never be overwhelmed by an enemy. So we believe in Tzahal. Tzva Haganah La Torah. It's very clear. It's not a joke. I'm not playing word games with you. It's not casuistry. It's not just It is, we have to guard the Torah. And the Torah guards the land. Very simple. It's not Tzva Haganah Li Yisrael. It's Tzva Haganah La Torah. We are here. I'm joining the army. I would join an army Now they give out, I'm not going to get into politics, but I mean, it's all very nice, give a Tanakh, I've been there, I've been by the Kaisel, it is moving to see they give the soldiers a Tanakh, but unfortunately that's not what they're guarding. They're guarding the land, and that's not our army. Our army, and kolakavot to them, kolakavot, put the life on the line. But it is not our ultimate army. And it's pretty dangerous to be in the army. It's very dangerous. So imagine if you would know that your son's going to the army, and the army is not giving him proper weapons, giving him faulty weapons. There is missiles that he could have. He could have better tanks. It's available. There's tremendous technology out there. And your army is not giving your son what he needs to protect himself and be the ultimate warrior. He's not being protected properly. I would be very loath to send my son someplace where they're not giving him the best. I want my son to have the best equipment and the best fighting. And it's available. And it's affordable. They can give it to him. Not giving. Torah is better than SAM 300 missiles. It is. It's not a fairy tale. We believe that is the truth. We have missiles too. Fine, we're not in such a madrega that it's just going to happen by itself. So we have to do some mishtadlus. But it's a tzava haganah la Torah. And if we are making the Torah, I'm fighting for the Lord and the Lord's word, the word of the Lord, then we will be masliach in our weaponry as well. So there's a line I love that they said about your great Prime Minister, Sir Winston Churchill, that he mobilized the English language and sent it out to war. Great line. That's what he did. He fought with words. His words were more powerful than a million men. Leadership, and the ability to inspire. He mobilized the English language and sent it out to war. And our military philosophy and strategy is to mobilize the Torah Kedosha and send the Torah out to war. And that's how we conquer the land. There's a wonderful Arve Nachal. The Arve Nachal, who is the Lushe Strad of Yardea, Rav Soroka. So Rav David Nachal lived about 200 years ago, wonderful sefer, and the Arve Nachal, it's a classic, says, how did they actually conquer Yisrael? Again, everything requires a good hour of Hezbollah. He says, Mamesh, the Yidden went, I punked up, and learned sefer Yeshua now. And we have a program learning 10 psukim a day of Tanakh to finish in the 5 years, Nach. So we started just now and learning, holding a sefer Yeshua. And the Torah goes, Mamesh, city by city, by city, by city. It's really amazing. And every place says the Arve Nachal, they went, they learned the halachas atluyas ba'aretz. This particular place has grapes, they learned all the halachas of orla, trumas, and maizes on grapes. If they had bananas, they learned what the halachas would be on truma, on a banana, it's not the shevas minim. Whatever they learned on every makam and makam, the army went and learned the halachas, hilchas royim, hilchas shmita, yovel. They learned all the halachas lemaisa. And that's how they conquered the land. Again, they released the sparks of Kedusha in the places in the country, and thereby they conquered it spiritually. And ultimately they conquered it physically. First you have to get to the neshama of the land, and then you get the guf. That's how you do it. As always, the Arve Nachal. And with that, we can understand very well. He doesn't say this, but I believe it's Pashut. We all know the famous Gemara. We're just a few days after Tisha B'Av. And the Gemara says, Almeh of Doretz, how did we lose the land? What do you mean, how did we lose the land? Everyone knows on Tisha B'Av, Bais Rishon, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Raya, Shechazon, Bais Sheni, Sinas Chinam. What's the Gemara asking about Metzia and then Doram Pei Aleph? Almeh of Doretz. Bais Sheni, we know. No. The Gemara is asking, how did we lose the land? Those, the other Gemara is talking about how the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That's one problem, Nebuch. But we also lost the land. The land got lost. How did it get lost? Tari says the land literally shrunk at the time of the Churban. Originally the land was bigger. It's just a big place. I love just traveling any place in Israel. I love getting a Dalai Lama's in Israel. Anytime you can put me in a car and get me to travel anywhere in the country, I love it. I love Yerushalayim, but I love the whole country. And there's lots of space in the land. And you know what? There's going to be more land. Because the more we learn Torah, the country expands. The Eretz Tzvi, that's like the hide of a deer that expands when you put more stuff into it, that is totally in Torah. So the more it's Malmeh of Doretz, how come by the Churban the land literally shrunk, became a tiny little minuscule marashkele, became a tiny little land, mamash it shrunk. Coming here on the plane, you know, they always show these maps of the whole Middle East. It's all so tiny, it's like Saudi Arabia. So it was literally 100 times bigger than Israel. Egypt is so huge. I can't even see on the map. When you're flying, they show you where you are, where you're holding. Israel, you can't even see it on the map. It's so tiny, this country. It is so... What happened to the country? Tara says, with his Torah, tomorrow says, Ashul Birch of a Torah Tchila. They didn't make a Birch of a Torah properly. They didn't do it with enough kavana. It wasn't a spiritual thing. It was just some hocus pocus words. When you have a Birch of a Torah, and you're learning Torah by, you're getting to the neshama of Torah by making a Pirkei Torah properly, then you are putting neshama into the land, and land, and neshama is infinite. Neshama is always expanding, just like the universe is expanding, right? And everybody knows that the universe is going, spreading further and further and further and further. There's no end in sight. And they're trying to get a new telescope that will reach to the end of the universe. They're still trying that, you know? They don't realize. But while I'm sitting here this morning and learning Torah, we are expanding the universe. I like that. But of course, you want the expansion of the universe. Every time we're learning here today, every one of you gentlemen is creating another star. A couple of stars. New star. Look, stars tonight. Look at the stars. Don't look for three stars up in Shemayim. Look for a whole bunch. It's because of you. Because you learned this morning Torah. You did some mitzvahs. You had some brachas. You're eating kosher and everything. You're creating. There's 100 billion galaxies out there. Each one with a minimum of 100 billion stars. And they just discovered that in the last century. In 1926, 27, before Edwin Hubble, they thought there's only one plain, a measly galaxy called the Milky Way. Can you imagine that? Less than 100 years ago, human vision, the astronomy, understanding the world, they thought there's only one galaxy, our Milky Way. Zehu. They didn't see beyond that. Edwin Hubble's, oh, there's a second galaxy. Oh, Koyach. I think it's Andromeda. And since then, they've discovered that there are 100, boy, that's a big jump, quantum leap, 100 billion galaxies, each one with a minimum of 100 billion stars. But guess what? That's the low ball. There's much, much more. Every day we're creating new stars. Everyone is creating a new Shai Alamas all the time. We are creating worlds. You're amazing people. So that's what you do for a living. Tell them I'm an astrophysicist. There's no derech eretz for you Haredim who are not living in this world. So I want you to know you're living, you're right, we're out of this world. We are out of this world. We're in this world as a launching pad to go out of this world. We're amazing. And in case anyone ever tells you, you're spending too much time on this Torah stuff, you got to be more worldly, you tell them like this. You know, there's a big mistake, even in this country, we have our Hebrew studies in the morning, we have our religious studies in the morning, and the afternoon we have our Limud Chayil. We have our secular studies in the afternoon. And we have a secular principle. Chas v'shalom. In our holy yeshivas, our holy day schools, our holy beis yakovs, we're going to have secular, choil, profane. In our holy schools, no way. Chas v'shalom. Everything is holy. Everything we teach our children and ourselves is sacred. The chilek is in the morning, we teach the word of God. And the afternoon, we teach about the world of God. And it's only after learning the word of God in the morning and putting on sacred spectacles. We put on the Heilige Shvakulin, the holy spectacles of Torah. Now we can learn everything you want. You can learn biology and geology and whatever else, astronomy, whatever you want. If it's kosher stuff, obviously. If it's kosher, if it's the world of God, it is holy and it's kosher. Because I studied the word of God, I put on godly, divine spectacles, and now I can see God everywhere. And Sumar Menechem, Urubi Bara Eila, I see the Word of God in the world of God, because the Word of God is holding up the world of God, made the world of God. But it's all holy. There is no Lamud Echol. So I'm entreating you now, never, if someone ever says to you about your children that they're studying secular studies, you make a major macho over here. We love making machos in Israel, my country. We're good on hafkanot and machaot and everything of that sort. But I do it in the base medrash only, right in front of such holy faces over here. You can see the kedusha of everybody here. And even if you're going out to work right now, work is fine. Because you have studied the word of God here this morning. Beautiful thing, you have a Torah word before you go out into the world. And now your mission is to sanctify every person and every thing you do today, Erev Shabbos, and the entire week, you will make the world a holy place, and you will see the spark of God. You release the nitzutz, the spark of the Holy Lord, in every endeavor that you have today, and you mobilize the Torah HaKadosha, and send it out to do war in our Tzva Haganah La Torah, which is applicable even in this great empire of Britain, and you will make sure that even though the sun does set today, on the British Empire, but the sun does not set on Hashem's empire, never. And Batania used to rule the waves, but you are in Hashem's empire, which rules the waves and rules the world and rules the ganze 100 billion galaxies with 100 billion stars apiece. You, my dear friends, are the captains, the commodores of the ship that is ruling proudly and the flag of Torah waves throughout the entire world. Shabrach of Atlach and a wonderful Shabbos Kodesh.